I have pastored at times. I've seen little kids sing hymns and get excited about the Lord. It's getting less and less every day, but there was a time. We need to pass that on to our children, our grandchildren. We really do. And that's why I got kind of stirred up this morning. We need help. We need help to move our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren, our children to where they ought to be. Genesis chapter 3, I hope you have it today. I'm going to preach something. Now hang on, it's going to sound a little bit unusual at first. It's a pastoral more than it's anything else. You know, a pastor, he's got to be an evangelist, he's got to be a pastor, he's got to be a comforter, he's got to be a rebuker, he's got to be everything. And it's hard for me to wear those hats sometimes, but I like this hat I'm fixing to put on. I want to teach you something. I want to teach you something that is so simple, it is profound. It's very simple. Y'all going to say, oh, wow, I never thought of it that way. That's what it means by profound. Look at Genesis chapter 3, if you will. Look at 1 through 6. Very familiar to most of you. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Father, help me today. Help me as I try to keep it simple yet profound. Help me, Lord, to speak. Hide me behind the cross. Speak through me, Holy Ghost. I surrender my vessel to thee. I pray today someone will open their eyes and look. Someone will open their ears and hear. Someone will open their heart and receive the Word of God, because it is good. The Word of God is good to make one wise. Lord, there might be somebody here, and I'm sure there is amongst us, some young person that is not saved. And they need to be saved just as much as old people. I pray you'd open their ears today. Remove all outside interferences, all outside thoughts, and let us get our mind on thee. Save some sinner. Reclaim some backslider. Encourage your saints. And you know, whatever you do, we will look up to heaven and sing, Jesus paid it all. And we'll praise you for it in Jesus' wonderful name. Satan is on your side. He is. Satan is on your side. You know, Satan used to be Lucifer. He was one of the most three powerful, the closest to God of all the angels in heaven. He knows what God wants. Satan knows. I don't always know what God wants. But Satan knows what God wants. Would you agree with me? Say amen. Yes. He was cast out of heaven because he wanted something other than what God wanted. Now you know he lifted himself up in the place of God. But he was cast out for wanting something that God did not want. So, because he can't get back at God, he's going to get through you to get back at God. He can't destroy God, but he can destroy you, or at least have you destroy yourself. He can't get to God, but he can hurt you, which would hurt God's will and God's plan in you and your family. So why do I say Satan is on God's side? He wants you to have what you want. Satan knew what he wanted, and he wanted her to have what she wanted. Now, hang on. Because, you know, deep down inside, he knows we want something good. Eve wasn't looking to do something wrong. She wanted something good. It's a fruit to make one wise. It'll tell you good from evil. And she wanted something good. And everybody in this town, deep down inside, I don't care if he's a crackhead right now smoking a pipe, deep down inside, he wants something good. Every drunk, he or she wants something good. They don't want to destroy their family. They don't want to destroy their body. Deep down inside, everybody made in the image of God, in the likeness of God, therefore, everybody wants something good. The problem is, we don't know what good is. Amen. He wants you to have what you want because deep down inside, he knows you, especially Christians, want what is good most of the time. Now, not all the time. Sometimes you want your way and you want things that ain't good for you. But Eve wanted to be wise, and she wanted to know the difference between good and evil. See, we read the Bible, and we read it that first time. We let somebody tell us what it means first time, which is all good. But then we never look at it in any other way. And you look at this story, and boy, men like look at that woman and say, you know, she gave that fruit to Adam and ruined us all. Because that's what Adam said, that woman you gave me. And we've been saying that ever since, Billy. Lord, that woman you gave me. She made me do that. But deep down inside, this woman wanted something good, and she wanted to know good from evil. She wanted to know what was bad and what wasn't so bad. And listen, so Satan doesn't want to decide what you do. He wants to influence you to decide what to do. What do you mean by that? Well, he wants to influence you where to work. He wants you to influence. He wants to influence you with going to school or who to marry or who to date, the kind of clothes you wear, the kind of music you listen to, the kind of movies or TV you watch, and he wants you to decide which one to do that. Wait a minute, I'm getting there. Well, preacher, ain't we supposed to do that? Well, in a way, you are, and the devil knows that. He says, I want you to decide what is right, and I want you to decide what to do. Is that not what he was telling Eve? There it is. It'll make you wise. You'll know good from evil. But I can't make that decision for you. You got to make that decision. Hang in there. Some of y'all still don't know what I'm talking about. I smell wood burning. That brain's working. See, he wants you to decide. He doesn't want to help you decide to do wrong. He didn't tell her, I want you to be evil. I want you to sin against God. I want you to do what God told you not to do. He wants you to decide what's right and what to do. So you say, well, I want to decide what to do. That's why I don't like that term, I made a decision for Christ. I don't like that. I don't like that. So, he wants you to decide what's right or wrong, but only God can do that. Only God knows what's right and what's wrong for you, for me, for anybody else. Only God knows that, Brother Billy. We're not smart enough to know that. That's why we need a God. Amen? I give you a good example. And Holroyd brought it up in Sunday school this morning. I thought he was going to get on my preaching. By the way, he did a great job. Y'all should have heard him. I'm going to make him teach once a month. And I am. Yeah. And he brought up Aaron's two sons who were priests. And they knew exactly what to do. They knew what God had commanded about the priesthood, how to make offerings. But one day, they needed fire and didn't have it. So they took strange fire, the Bible called it. The fire on the altar and in the incense was always taken from the same ashes over and over and over and over and over. They kept those ashes and they kept them burning. And they it just went down the line. They'd light this one off of this one, this one off of this one, this one off of this one. They kept the same fire. They never put it anywhere else. They never changed it. And so they decide, there's not a fire, so I'm going to make one. And God condemned them and killed them. Is that right, Holroyd? You taught the lesson. Is that right? He killed them, right? And God did that not because they did something evil, but because they decided what was good and they were wrong. Now, it was a good thing. They needed fire. The altar needed fire. The incense needed fire. But it didn't need the fire that they offered. Y'all still with me? If you ain't, hang on. We're going to get there. I ain't got but 25 pages. But they're only that big. You know, the preacher's been thinking real hard when he puts his, scrap paper. Satan wants us not to do the will of God. Would you agree with that? But he doesn't care what you do, even if it's good, as long as it's not the will of God. Some people never think about that. Preacher, I'm not drunk. I'm not a drug addict. I'm going to church. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. Satan doesn't care what you do. He doesn't care what good you do. He wants you to decide to do good. But he just doesn't want you to decide to do what God says. Amen? The way God says it. Remember, he's after God, but he can't get to God. So he's going to get to you, which will get to God's plan. Y'all still with me? Your children will die and go to hell if he gets to you. Your grandchildren will die and go to hell if he gets to you. Your mom and daddy, your brother, your sister, your friends will die and go to hell if he gets to you. And see, he doesn't care what you do. Satan, he doesn't necessarily want you to go to the beer joint. He just doesn't want you to do what God wants you to do. Y'all still with me? There's people in here today doing good. But they're not doing what God wants them to do. Amen? He came to Eve to influence her to do right. He said, so eat the fruit so you can know the difference between right and wrong. And then you'll be able to make good choices without God's help. You're really thinking now, aren't you? He never came to Eve, said commit adultery. He didn't come and say commit fornication or become a homosexual. He didn't come and say be a liar or a crook or a thief. He just came and said, Eve, you need to do this. This will help you be good. It's good to know right from wrong, is it not? Come on, help me. It's good to know evil and what's not evil, right? And that's the way he came to her. He didn't come to her and say, rebel against God, get out of God's will, lose everything, just throw it away. No, sir. He came and said, I got something I want you to do and it's good. It's going to make you better. It's going to make you be able to think better and make better choices. In the times of Judges, look over to chapter 17 of Judges real quick. Chapter 17 in verse 6, he says this. In those days when there was no king in Israel, but every man did that which was right. Now if you stop there, it'd be all right, wouldn't it? But then it says, in his own eyes. And then don't turn there, but Judges 21:25 says exactly the same thing. Now, it didn't say every man did bad. It didn't say every man became a fornicator, an adulterer, a homosexual, or a drunk, or a drug addict. It said, but every man did that which was right in his own eyes. It said they did bad. They didn't necessarily do bad. They still went to the temple. They still did sacrifices. They wasn't out of church. They were doing good in their own eyes. Some of y'all do that. Well, Pastor, I'm not hurting anybody. And besides that, I give to the church. Pastor, well, I'm not hurting anybody. Besides that, I'm doing pretty good. I'm not what I used to be. Go see where that boy just went out the door. Oh, scared to go by me, wasn't he? I've been preaching since 1981. I ain't never had to quit and go to the bathroom. Amen? Listen, do good. That's what the devil said. Now, think about this. Think about this. The devil wants you to do what you think is right, and you just don't know what is right. Right. Well, Pastor, I'm a pretty smart fella. Yeah, there's a downfall right there. Well, Pastor, I'm a pretty smart gal. Yeah, and Eve thought she was too. Amen. He says you do what you think is right. Did you ever hear a Christian say this? Well, I don't see anything wrong with that. Well, who gave you the right to say anything wrong or right with that? Only God can make those decisions. Boy, it's getting quiet on me. 70 years of captivity in Babylon of the Israeli people, the children of Israel, the children of Abraham, was caused by that same thing. God allowed them to be taken captive for 70 years and taken 500 miles away from their homes, and they became slaves. Their temple was destroyed. And during the siege of Jerusalem, they even got so hungry, the women ate their own children. Yes. They were selling doves' dung to eat. You say, well, preacher, that must have been bad people. No! They were just doing what they thought was right in their own eyes. They starved. They were taken captive. They became slaves. Their temple was destroyed because the Bible says every man turned unto his own way. Folks, it's dangerous. Y'all young people, listen to me. You're not smart enough to make these decisions. Well, I'm pretty spiritual. Just saying that shows me you're not smart enough to make these decisions. Amen? A fellow walked out of church one day. I'd preached on spirituality and making spiritual decisions. He said, I guess you think you're the only one spiritual in this church. I said, I know I'm not. That's why I'm trying to warn others. Amen. Amen. Satan wins every time we do any good thing on our own because we don't know what God is. Amen. What good is by God. King Saul. God chose him, by the way, to be king. Come on. The people loved him. They loved him. He was a handsome man, intelligent man. And one day, the priest didn't show up on time. So Saul said, well, I'm king. I can do that. And he made the sacrifice. And God said, rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. And you can't do that. You're going to lose your kingdom. I'm going to give it to somebody else. Simply because he made a sacrifice, a good thing, out of God's order and out of God's will.
Amen.
Well, I can worship God on the river. The devil told you that. Amen. Amen. Well, I can be a Christian, not go to church. The devil told you that. You can be a good person, not go to church, but you can't be a real Christian, not go to church. You can claim Christianity, not go to church. I see them in the paper all the time. They'll give his obituary and then down there somewhere to say he was of the Baptist faith. And I say he died and went to hell because he never went to church. He never had any evidence of salvation, even enough to get him in church. And that's the easiest thing we do. If he didn't do that, what did he do with the hard stuff?
Amen.
Don't get quiet on me now. We need a revival on the will of God in our lives.
Amen. Yes.
Now, I pray for revival in our church all the time. I do. I pray our church will be revived. But I'm not necessarily talking about jumping pews and running up and down the aisles. I'm praying and I'm begging that God will get a revival of His will in our lives, and we'll start not just making good choices and good decisions, but we'll start making godly choices and godly decisions. Pastor told me, he said, well, preacher, we had to dress down at church in order to bring the children in. We had to change our music in order to keep the young people. And we had a meeting and we decided. What? Who are you to have a meeting and make that decision? Amen?
Amen, yeah.
Hey, look, whatever happened to God making the decision? Whatever happened to come out from among them, be ye separate, saith the Lord of hosts.
Amen.
Whatever happened to dressing godly and behaving godly and walking godly and talking godly? Amen?
Amen.
Well, preacher, won't nobody come to church? Well, if it ain't nobody but me and you, let's do it.
Amen.
Get back to the will of God. Well, we had to change Bibles because nobody reads that old King James Bible anymore. And by the way, it's still the biggest seller book in the world.
Amen.
And people can't understand it. Well, if they get saved, they'd understand it. Somebody dumb as me and you understands it. Surely they can understand it. But look, you got to change stuff with the times. Now, wait a minute. God never said that. Matter of fact, he admonished us not to change. He said, I'm the same today, yesterday, and today, and I change not. We need to get back to a revival of some will make good choices. Some people went to church today, and there wasn't nothing wrong with that. The problem was they went to the wrong church.
Come on, man.
Well, who are you judging? I'm just telling you, worldliness. Look, if they have to have bright lights and fireworks and loud music and give you plugs when you walk in so it won't deafen you with the music, and the preacher's got to wear designer jeans and he's got to look like the latest rock, rap, country, whatever that trash is they listen to nowadays. Something wrong with that picture, but that's what people like. I don't care what people like. What is God like?
Amen.
Well, we'll quit having the offerings. I don't care what the offerings are. What does God want? Amen?
Amen.
I'm not telling you not to offer, though. Do it right. Amen? He says, forsake not the assembling ourselves together. There's people, good people today, who made a decision, a good decision. Well, we need to go see Mama today. Well, that's wonderful. You need to see Mama. But you shouldn't do it on Lord's Day or do it after church.
Amen?
Amen? But it was a good thing. The devil will never come to you and say, don't go to church. He'll never do that. He'll come to you and give you something good to do in the place of going to church.
That's right. Come on.
My body needs to rest up for the rest of the week, Brother Billy. That's good. Yeah. My kids need to be in bed early on Sunday night because they've got to go to school Monday. Well, I remember when we used to eat at McDonald's, Burger King, McDonald's in York every Sunday night after church, and that wasn't short church either. On the way back from Blessed Hope in York, we stop at McDonald's every Sunday night. Our kids eat those little cheap cheeseburgers, and his kids eat the cheap cheeseburgers, and they play on the little playground. We sit over there in fellowship, and we never heard anybody complain about getting up Monday morning. Well, I got to get my rest, preacher. Rest is good at the right time. The old devil comes along and he says, well, you don't spend enough time with your family. Yep. Well, spending time with your family is a good thing. Amen?
Amen?
Why can't you do it at church?
Amen.
Why don't you sit with them at church? Amen? By the way, that's why my kids always sat with us at church. We didn't farm them out all over the town. Amen? They sat with us. What's wrong with going to Sunday school together? What's wrong with going to church together? What's wrong with being a family that honors the house of God?
Come on, man.
But we need that family time. Go to eat after church.
Right.
We do.
Right.
When my kids were little on Sunday afternoon, we'd go down to Lancaster to see Grandma. Well, Pastor, I know what's good for me and my family. Well, I'm sure you do. I'm sure you do. But the devil knows too. And he knows if he can work on something good in the place of what's best, he'll get you. It was good Aaron's sons offered a fire. It was good that Saul wanted to offer a sacrifice, but it was out of the place where it should have been done.
Amen.
Yeah. Sunday ain't no place to spend the day getting carowinds with your children. And then they turn 16, get in trouble, you call the pastor, and I want to look at you and say, where were they when they were 10? Where were they when they were 9 if you'd have brought them to church instead of taking stinking carowinds or the mountains or the ocean or the beach or wherever you take them? I don't know. I've got too old. I don't even know where to take them no more. In Matthew chapter 4, Satan came to Jesus himself. You don't have to turn down. I'm not going to read it. My sermon's done gone too long now. Matt, and I can tell some of you's nervous. In Matthew chapter 4, Satan didn't say drink liquor to the Lord. Satan didn't say do drugs to the Lord. Satan didn't say tell a lie to the Lord. He tempted him by telling him to do something good. He was hungry. He hadn't eaten 40 days and 40 nights, and he was hungry. And he said, you're the Son of God. You've got the power. Why don't you turn that rock into a loaf of bread and eat it? It'll be good for you. He didn't tell him to get out of God's will. Do this, it's good. But it was out of God's will if he'd have done that. And Satan knew that. The thing that's ruining Christians today is not doing wrong, but doing good things that God never told you to do in the first place.
Come on now. Yeah.
I know you're uncomfortable, and we ought to be. By the way, if you go to church where they make you comfortable all the time, they'd find you another church.
Yeah.
Whatever happened to cry aloud, spare not. Amen? Show my people their sin. Listen. Going down to the 5K, fun run, come see me event as a church, and getting water bottles with the church name on it and Jesus loves you and handing them out might be good for that runner and everybody there, but it ain't the way God told us to go into all the world and preach the gospel.
Amen. Yeah. Come on now.
Amen. If I hand you a bottle of water, there's going to be some preaching going with it.
Amen.
There's going to be some witnesses, some scripture. Amen? This ain't the water he talked about giving them. The church is all over this town doing stupid stuff. I'm sorry, good stuff like that, but it's the wrong stuff.
Come on now.
Preaching's good. Now, you ain't going to believe what I'm fixing to say. Preaching's good, but because it becomes bad if God doesn't tell you to do it.
Amen.
Yeah. There's a lot of preachers today standing up and preaching. Shouldn't even be in a pulpit, nor be sitting down somewhere listening to somebody.
Come on, man. Yeah.
I'm not saying I'm great. I'm not. I'm probably the sorriest Christian in this room. I know I'm not the best speaker in this town. But I can tell you this. I remember when he called me and I couldn't get away from it. And I've stood up for him, not me or denomination. And I've stood up for him. And there's a lot of them, Brother Billy. You know it good as I do. They were mama called and daddy sent. And some just went. They ought to sit down and shut up. God hasn't called him to preach. Just go ahead. I'm on Facebook, right? Joyce Meyer ain't a preacher. Amen. Amen. Mr. Pretty Boy with his long flowing curls, he's not a preacher.
Come on, man.
Yeah. Amen. Charles Stanley was a wonderful man, but his son is a businessman. He's not a preacher. Boy, that got quiet on that one, didn't it? Ladies, I know you want to preach. The best preaching you'll ever do is to your children and your grandchildren. Amen. My mama done a lot of preaching, right preaching. She didn't go stand in somebody's pulpit. And by the way, that's the beginning of the homosexual stand in the pulpit too. And I'll get on that later. Teaching's good. But not if God didn't tell you to do it.
That's
Right.
Holroyd told about that this morning. These guys get PhDs and they think because they're now a doctor of theology that they're a preacher and teacher. They've got no more idea about the will of God than anybody else. They want to do something good. They want to preach. They want, that's good. You want to preach. You want to teach. That's wonderful. But if it's not God's will, you'll do more harm than you'll do good.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. Singing's good. But if God didn't tell you to do it, you're wasting your time. You're wasting your time. Amen. The real singers go out and all the world. This man right here sings every Tuesday night. And he says the only reason he does that is because they let him play the guitar. I don't know. He let me preach one time. He gave me 10 minutes. I took 15. He's been mad at me ever since. I had. I'm teasing. This man right here preached at four nursing homes. More gets done by these people wanting to do the will of God, not just what's good, but what is best, because God told them to do it. Point number 24. Good becomes bad when it's not God's will. Now, God wants you, hey, God's got things for you, but Satan wants you to make the choice, not God.
Come on, man.
Because when you make a bad choice, he gets back at God through your bad choice by convincing you that you have the right and the ability to make those choices, and you do not, and I do not.
Come on, man.
Eve, this will make you wise. Eve, this will teach you good from bad. Yeah, but God told her not to do it.
Right.
Now, everybody in here wants to do good. I'm going to tell you what. Some bum walks up to you out somewhere in the market or somewhere, and he won't work, and he's got family he won't support, and he's got addictions he ought not have, and he bums money off you, tells you a lie, bums money off of you, and you give it to him because you think that's the good thing to do, and it is a good thing to do, but it's not the right thing to do because you're supporting him by giving him money so he don't work, he doesn't support his family, he doesn't pay his bills, he keeps on the drugs, and you just did a good thing that hurt him. It's good to be nice to your children, love, gentle, kind to your children. But when they turn out rebellious, you listen to me, your goodness just hurt them more than it helped them. Every once in a while, you need to do what God says. Spare them not for their much crying. Whip them! Well, you're a mean preacher. Whatever you want to call it, whip them! He said, you'll drive it out of them. Did you know your little old sweet little baby doll is a dirty, rotten sinner? I don't care how you dress them up. I don't care how much education you give them. I don't care what schools you send them to. They're a dirty, rotten, low-down sinner, and they need a Savior. And we keep rescuing them. We jump in the way of God from whipping them by doing good things sometimes that we ought not even do for them.
Right,
I ain't got quiet on that one. I better... Listen, that's exactly how the devil got thrown out of heaven. See, the devil didn't say, I'm going to destroy heaven. He said, I'm going to go up there and I'm going to be, I'm wise. I'm going to sit on that throne. I'm going to direct this place. Now, did you know, and I'm over time, and I know I am, the buffet is waiting on you right now. There's some little snotty boy right now got his hand over there in that chicken in that buffet. That's why I don't go to buffets. Ban the buffet. Amen. And I don't have to see the cook. Thank God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I don't have to see the cook. I don't go anywhere where I can look at the cook. Amen. Because he probably just did the same thing that little boy did. And I know that's on your mind a lot, but I only got a couple more things. Listen to this. Satan's got a large menu. He's got a large menu. He's got a lot for you to choose from. And we're not talking about those bad things. We're talking about good things. See, we're so scared that people's going to make bad choices by choosing bad things when we ought to worry more about them making bad choices by choosing good things out of the will of God. Listen, he doesn't care which... he doesn't care which choice you make as long as that choice is your choice. Well, I chose Jesus. No, you didn't choose Jesus. He chose you, or you ain't saved. Amen. Now, did you know there's wrong churches? Did you know there's wrong churches? There's a menu of churches in this town. You couldn't even write them on one piece of paper. If you got run over this morning around between 10 and 11 o'clock, it was probably by a car that's headed to some kind of church today. Good people trying to do good things, making the wrong choice, and it doesn't matter what you like about church. What does God like about church? Here's what Satan says in every one of his churches. Have it your own way. Let's have a poll. Let's have a committee meeting. Someone record the minutes. And let's make some decisions about what we want to do for our church. I'll give you a good example. Somebody decided to spend $150,000 on a playground set at a church when there are people going to hell all over town and all over the country and all over the world, and they spent $150,000 on swings. Of course you want your kids to have nice swings, nice toys. That's a good thing. But you're not to take God's money and do stuff like that.
Amen.
They're wrong churches. Like it or not, they're wrong churches. What does God say about church? He says, have it my way. Have it my way. Page 23. You know, the devil doesn't care which Bible you read. He doesn't care if you read the Bible, as long as you make the choice of which Bible. So you get you a New Living Letters, and that thing's been so dumbed down. A NIV, that's not inspired version, and it's so dumbed down and influenced by a homosexual woman who was on the translating committee who claimed to be married to another woman at the time.
Yeah.
And yet that's the favorite edition nowadays. The devil don't care if you read the Bible, as long as you read the wrong Bible.
That's right. Come on.
Well, I can't understand those other ones. Study to show thyself approved, a workman unto God. It's not the newspaper. It's not the funny paper. It's not Twitter or Flickr or whatever else you've been reading. It's the Word of God. It ain't meant to be easy. Amen? He don't care if you read the Bible. Read it. He's got a menu, the RSV, the ASV, the NASV, the NKJV, the Living Bible, the NIV, the Good News for Modern Man, the NRSV, Moffat's Translation, the Reader's Digest Translation, the Holman Translation, the New World Translation. There are now 114 English translations. He said, there's a menu. Take it. It's going to make you smart. And by the way, we're going to make it easier for you. So he lets you choose about your salvation. The devil never come and said, don't get saved. He said, just don't get saved that way. You can make a profession of faith. You can join a church. You can get baptized. You can be an active member. You can claim Christianity. You can read the Bible. You can do good works. Just don't do it that way. Let that guy over there that wears that long gown and a backward collar and call himself Father save you. Him and his church. Let that guy over there that says because you got baptized in his church, you can be saved. Let that guy over there that says, because you spoke in some unknown gibberish, you can be saved. And it just goes down the list and down the list and down the list. But don't do it this way. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And there's none other name given under heaven whereby men must be saved in that man Christ Jesus. Jehovah's Witnesses, the hardest working people in town. Or make you ashamed every time one comes to your door. You ought to look at them saying, man, I'm ashamed you came to my door and I didn't come to yours.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Satan's on your side. He told Eve, you have a right to choose. You can choose good things. He told Israel, you have a right to choose right. And as you see it, it will turn out good. He tells us saints, you're smart enough. Choose good from evil and you decide. He tells sinners, you're really pretty good anyway. So you choose who to believe, which Bible to read, which church to go to, which baptism to get. He's got no plan for your life, but he says this, I am all for you. So you decide and control your own destiny. He's lying. He's lying. He knows the word liberty will appeal to you. So you've got liberty, you can choose. 1 Corinthians 2:14 says you'll always choose wrong. For the natural man understands not things of spirit. They're spiritually discerned. You're always going to choose wrong unless you do it through the Spirit. You can't do it through the Spirit unless you do it through the Holy Spirit of God Himself.
Amen.
And every time you choose good over right or good over best, good over what God wants, Satan always wins. And when he does, he gets back at God. See, you thought it was about you, didn't you? It ain't about us. It's about him and God.
Amen.
And Brother Rick, every time we make a decision without God, Satan gets back at God.
That's right. Come on.
And he wins. Now, you know, he ain't going to win the whole war, but he wins a little battle. Don't be deceived. You and God can win when you allow Him to choose. And He's not willing that any should perish. He wants to save you His way. Romans 8:28 is for believers.
Yes.
We'll hear sinners quote it. Well, all things work together for the good. No, you didn't finish the verse. For them that love God. Amen. And all things work to good. Yes, they do. They work for our good. But everything is not always good.
That's right.
And sometimes our choices outside of the will of God that look good turn out bad. And God has to get us help. Like Romans 8:28, because we done messed up again.
Amen.
You know what we'll do? March 5th, 1978, I gave up choosing. Brother Billy, I said, I don't have enough sense to do this. I don't know how to be saved. I don't know how to go to heaven. I'm just going to trust Him.
Amen.
If I die and go to hell, He's a liar. He's the biggest crook that ever walked planet Earth. He's the biggest deceiver that ever preached a message. But I know He's not a liar because Titus 1:2 says, the God that cannot lie,
Amen.
He's built where He can't even lie. And I've made some some good choices since I've been saved.
Amen.
Without God, and they turned out to be bad, not good. And the devil won that battle over me. He won that day to get after God. And this week, every one of you are going to be making choices. And you, down inside, you want to do what's good. You want to be a good father. You want to be a good mother. You want to be a good grandparent. You want to be a good son, a good daughter. You want to be a good Christian. You want to be a good employee. But yet, every time you make a good choice and not a God choice, it's going to hurt you and God. We lose, and He wins. That's why He says we'll be wise as serpents. It's hard to find a snake. When you find him, it's hard to keep up with him. That boy can bite you and be gone. I've had it happen. But this week, here's what I want you to do. Number one, if you're not saved today, I want you to make not a good choice. I want you to make the best choice and come to Christ. God's choice. If you are saved this week while you're living for God, I don't want you to make good choices. God wants you to make the best choices by seeing what He wants before what you want.
Come on now.
Maybe today, maybe this week you've made some bad choices because you never thought about it. Satan is on your side. He's all for you, making good choices. But he's not for you making God choices. And it destroyed, well, it hurt Eve and Adam, and it hurt the children of Israel. And it destroyed the world in the beginning, and it'll destroy me and you. Jesus himself submitted himself to the Father, and he said, "Not my will, but thy will be done." A good choice would have been to get up and walk out of that garden and go to another town and never come back. They never would have crucified him. A good choice would have been to get up from there and tell all the disciples, "Look, I tell you what, I feel called to move to another pasture and go preach somewhere else." But that's not what God wanted him to do. And he surrendered his will for God's will, and they nailed him to the cross. And you say, "That's terrible." No, it resulted in the greatest harvest in the history of God's history. We got to be saved. The church age got to be here. Let's stand. Father, I don't know anybody's heart but mine. But